Black Canary.
I'll need a sparring partner.
I'm Zatanna. What do you care about some leggy dame in nylons? Or have I answered my own question? Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Magic.
Welcome to a special episode of Power of Fishnets, the Black Canary and Zatanna podcast. I'm Ryan Daly, and what makes this episode so special is that I won't be talking about Black Canary or Zatanna this time around, nor will I discuss Silver Deer or Magpie or even Harley Quinn from the Suicide Squad film. I'm not discussing any DC Comics characters. Instead, this episode is dedicated to a pair of Marvel superheroes. One is the amazing web-slinger who will be swinging into movie theaters this week. The other is a woman not known for fishnets, but who did in fact wear them as part of her first superhero costume, the Black Widow. For this special Homecoming Week episode of Power Fishnets, I'll review Amazing Spider-Man number 86. Right now, I'm going to play a promo for another podcast. After the break, I'll talk about the comic and then offer some general thoughts on Spider-Man and Black Widow. Catch you on the other side.
It's a small world after all. It's a small world.
Great comics come in all shapes and sizes.
Coming soon from the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
It's Digest Cast, a new show dedicated to our beloved pocket-sized treasures from that bygone era of the 70s and 80s.
Hosted by the Fire and Water Podcast team of Robin Shag, and we'll be joined from time to time by special guests.
It's Digest Cast, because big things come in small packages.
Coming soon to the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
The Amazing Spider-Man 86 is cover dated July 1970, 47 years ago. According to Mike's Amazing World of Comics, though, it hit newsstands on April 14th that year. The story is written by Stan Lee with art by Don Heck and Jim Mooney. Beware the Black Widow begins with Spider-Man swinging home after a fierce battle with the Kingpin last issue. Spidey is nursing a severe headache and doesn't notice the woman watching him. You'd think it would be impossible not to notice Black Widow in her first superhero costume. Fishnets covering her arms and legs, a half cape, and a masquerade mask. At least her black bouffant hairdo is gone this time. Inspired by the sudden appearance of the wall crawler, Black Widow decides to learn the secret of Spider-Man's powers and combine them with her own to make her unstoppable in the next phase of her career. First things first, though, we need to know about the last phase. Natasha returns to an apartment and strips off her fishnet costume. This will, in fact, be the last time she ever wears it, to my knowledge. Then, she recaps her history as told in issues of Tales of Suspense and The Avengers that Stan Lee, as both writer and editor, failed to enumerate. She recalls how she was sent from Russia to spy on and kill Tony Stark, how she first met and fell for Hawkeye, how she returned to Russia to confront the Red Guardian, who was her husband that she thought long dead. Since then, she's been the jet-setting Madame Natasha, living a life of wealth and luxury. But that life is not for her. She needs action and danger to help her escape her haunted past, so she will be Black Widow, with a new costume. Meanwhile, Spider-Man swings home but finds Harry Osborn, Gwen Stacy, and her police captain father waiting for Spidey's alter ego, Peter Parker. Totally displaying signs of concussion syndrome, Spider-Man changes into his civilian gear and returns home, but forgets the obvious physical signs of his fight with Kingpin. His friends show concern, but all Gwen wants to know is the terrible Spider-Man isn't responsible. Maybe it's the head trauma, but Peter is incapable of making up a good excuse for his bruises, and Gwen leaves, angry. Across town, Natasha dons the new costume, the look that will define her for most of her publishing history, including the Marvel Cinematic Universe movies. It's a skin-tight black jumpsuit obviously inspired by Emma Peel of the TV Avengers. She tries on her new wrist bracelets that shoot repelling line for climbing and swinging, and also shoot bioelectric blasts, her Widow's Sting. With her new costume and gear, Black Widow starts to swing across New York, drawing the attention of J. Jonah Jameson, who at first mistakes her for Spider-Man. Speaking of which, Peter wakes up at home, changes back into his Spider-Man costume, and heads out for the night, still feeling weak and woozy. He swings by Aunt May's place and almost scares her to death because he forgets he's wearing his costume. He's not paying attention when Black Widow zaps him with her wrist shooter, and he doesn't seem capable of shooting a web and swinging away to safety, so Black Widow fires her own line to catch him. They swing onto a building under construction and fight, and Black Widow gets the better of him at every turn. And if you can believe it, no one is more disappointed than her. She wanted to learn the secret of his powers, to copy them and be stronger. What has this all been for if she can kick his ass on her own? That's enough for Spider-Man, who breaks out of the binding cord she wrapped around him. Then he web shoots her wrist shooters. Natasha thinks he was playing possum the whole time, lulling her into a false sense of security. Now, afraid that she badly underestimated him, Black Widow flees for her life. She returns to her apartment, content to let Spider-Man keep his secrets. She has her own power and her own style, and now she's got a sexy new costume. And as much as I love me some fishnets, the new look is a big improvement. There's a caption letting us know that Black Widow's continuing adventures will be told in backup strips of Amazing Tales. The story ends with Spider-Man still suffering and concluding that there is more wrong with him than there appears. He goes to the private lab in his room to study his own blood, wondering if his spider powers are going away. The bigger question is, does Peter want a normal life now? And yeah, that is where this issue ends. As Spider-Man stories go, well, this is a good Black Widow story. She goes through a major character metamorphosis, or at least her years-long change finally comes to fruition, and she ends up with an awesome costume. Spider-Man, though? This is a filler story for his adventures. He doesn't come out great in the story, but you know what? He's had like 1,500 comics over the years. I'm sure Spider-Man is fine. I'm going to take another promo break right here, and when I come back, I'll share some more thoughts on Black Widow and Spider-Man.
In 2011, the irredeemable Shag and Aqua Rob Kelly teamed up to create the Fire and Water podcast. In 2016, they teamed up with Ryan Daly, The Franklins, and Siskoid to form the Fire and Water Podcast Network. A network built on teaming up? Needs a show about team-ups.
Marvel Team-Up.
Yes.
The Brave and the Bold?
You know it.
Marvel 2-in-1.
It's clobbering time.
DC Comics presents.
Of course.
Supervillain Team-Up?
Good idea.
Youngblood X-Force?
Technically.
FW Team-Up. Coming this summer, only from the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
The Amazing Spider-Man 86 was Black Widow's 30th appearance in Marvel Comics. She debuted in the Iron Man story in Tales of Suspense 52, published in 1964, the creation of writer Stan Lee and artist Don Heck. In that story, Natalia Romanova, later sort of anglicized to Natasha Romanoff, is a Soviet spy sent to the United States to kill Tony Stark. Black Widow would appear 4 more times in that series over the next year, including issue 57 when she recruits the archer known as Hawkeye. While Hawkeye would find redemption by joining Earth's Mightiest Heroes in Avengers 16, Black Widow's path to being a hero took a bit longer. She started appearing in Avengers 29, first as an enemy of the team, and eventually as a supporting character slash love interest for Hawkeye. Finally, in a 2-part story in Avengers 43 and 44, released in 1967, Natasha's shadowy past came back when she returned to Russia to confront the Soviet super soldier, the Red Guardian, the man who had been her husband once upon a time. After that mission, she spent a couple of years trying to find herself, which brings us to this issue of Spider-Man. Clearly, the reason I chose to review this issue on Power of Fishnets is because of Natasha's first superhero costume. Honestly, it's kind of hard to look at her in this outfit and rationalize who it is. The monochrome jumpsuit is such a defining quality of the Black Widow today, whether it's black leather or the all-gray bodysuit that Frank Miller designed. I think it was Miller. Seeing Black Widow in fishnet leggings and sleeves with a mini cape and a mask, the closest comparison I can make is the electric blue Superman from the 90s. Yes, okay, that was technically part of the character's history, but I just want to reject it on principle. It's so not Black Widow, just as Big Blue was so not Superman. And yet, Don Heck's original Black Widow costume is not bad. It just feels completely out of tune with not only the character, but the entire Marvel Universe at that point. It looks like something designed for a Golden Age character that would have debuted 20 years earlier. Which is to say, yes, it does resemble Carmine Infantino's design for Black Canary, if you replace the jacket with sleeves and a cape. This costume is a great hero or villain costume for a comic book character, but it needs the proper setting, that being the 1940s. This costume could have belonged to a predecessor of Natalia Romanova, someone who fought with or against Captain America and the Invaders during World War II. That's my take on the fishnet costume. I like it, but it doesn't belong on the Black Widow we know and love. And we do love Black Widow. I'll admit, I was disappointed when Scarlett Johansson was cast as Black Widow in Iron Man 2. Not because I dislike the actress. I love ScarJo. I really love ScarJo. But I thought someone like an Emily Blunt would have captured the worldliness and weariness of the character. And I still kind of believe that. I also regretted the absence of the Wasp or a genuine superpowered woman on the team of original Avengers. It felt like sex appeal and deceit were the only weapons the girl could use to contend with Iron Man's suit and Thor's hammer. But Scarlet's Widow has grown on me more and more with each appearance in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and now I badly want to see her get her own movie after the fourth Avengers flick comes out in 2019. The critical and commercial success of Wonder Woman should embolden Marvel to make more female-led movies after Captain Marvel. Scarlett Johansson is a proven star with action films like Lucy and Ghost in the Shell, and comedies like Rough Night, the quality of those films notwithstanding. A Black Widow solo film could absolutely work based on ScarJo's star power and the character's recognizability. She might not have 75 years of history like the Amazon Princess, but she has appeared in 5 of the biggest films of all time just in the last 7 years. From a production standpoint, a Black Widow movie wouldn't cost Disney as much as a Captain America movie or a Thor movie. The need for CG and post-production visual effects wouldn't be as demanding as the others. The style of the film could be more like a Jason Bourne movie, or the Angelina Jolie action film Salt, and thus, the production budget might be $50 or $60 million less than Captain America the Winter Soldier. In terms of the story, I would go back to Avengers 43 and 44. Nick Fury sends Natasha back to Russia on some mission that delves deep into her past, the lore of the Red Room, and the Black Widow program. It culminates in the revelation that her first husband is still alive and being used as the Russian version of Captain America, the Red Guardian. Or, you introduce Yelena Belova, the replacement Black Widow from the 90s. Also, bring back Julie Delpy's character from Avengers Age of Ultron as the wicked teacher who mentored Natasha. Whoever the antagonist is, it's something personal from her life pre-S.H.I.E.L.D. You've got plenty of action and pathos to go around. Sounds like a good movie to me. So what about the other hero of this comic, the guy who actually does have a movie coming out? I've always liked Spider-Man since I got his Secret Wars action figure, one of only 3 or 4 from that line that I had originally. The only time Spider-Man wasn't on my top 10 Marvel heroes list was when I thought he was overexposed, even by Spider-Man standards, in the mid-2000s, when he didn't just have 2 or 3 solo titles, but was also a member of 2 Avengers teams and I think one of the X-Men groups, too. The relative, mind you, failure of a couple of Spider-Man films seemed to humble Spidey in the eyes of Marvel's publishing division, who put more and more emphasis on characters like Iron Man and Cap, who were actually thriving at the box office. When Disney and Marvel Studios arranged a deal with Sony to allow Spider-Man into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I was nervous at first because I worried that his debut in Captain America Civil War would overshadow the first appearance of Black Panther, a character who is never out of my top 3 Marvel heroes. It turns out, I needn't have worried. In fact, I am so glad that Marvel has the rights to Spider-Man in the films now. I think he is a great and necessary addition to their roster of characters. What's more, I like what I suspect is Marvel's plan with the character. Marvel Studios president Kevin Feige said that Spider-Man is going to be the driving force of their film universe after the fourth Avengers movie. Keep in mind, the contracts for the actors who play Iron Man, Captain America, and Thor will all expire after Avengers 4. So I'm expecting Peter Parker to be the Tony Stark of Phase 4, the heart and soul of the world. It's also noteworthy that the sequel to Spider-Man Homecoming comes out 2 months after Avengers 4 and is supposed to take place immediately after. Kevin Feige has also said that there will be other Marvel characters besides Iron Man showing up in the Spider-Man movies. What I take from this is, starting with Phase 4, Marvel is going to put the Avengers franchise on the back burner while they crank out Guardians Volume 3 and probably Doctor Strange 2, as well as more Spider-Man movies. And I think those Spider-Man movies are going to feel a lot more like Marvel team-up movies. If Thor Ragnarok, which features Thor and the Hulk teaming up, if that's a hit, and there's no reason it shouldn't be, expect more like that. I would love to see Spider-Man and the Hulk, and Spider-Man and Doctor Strange, and yes, Spider-Man and Black Widow could be cool too. All of this, of course, depends on the continued success of these movies, but from everything I've heard, Spider-Man Homecoming is a lot of fun, as good as Spider-Man 2, if not better. Funny and heartfelt, Spider-Man badly needs a great movie again, and it couldn't come at a better time when the Marvel Universe needs to start grooming their next focal character. I am looking forward to the movie, and I hope you are too. And that is going to be all for this episode of Power of Fishnets. The next episode, first, I don't know when it will come out, but when it does, it is also going to be a little different. I'm going to be talking about fishnet-related material I found at HeroesCon this year. I picked up 2 issues of an indie comic called Tough Girl that I'll review, and I will also discuss the sketches of Zatanna and Black Canary that I acquired. Like I said, though, I have no idea when I'll get to that show, because 2 weeks from now, I should have a baby in my arms. Holy crap. Power of Fishnets is a proud member of the Fire and Water Podcast Network. Feedback for the show can be left at fireandwaterpodcast.com or the Power of Fishnets Facebook page. You can also find me on Twitter at RyanDaily01, or you can send an email to rdailypodcast@gmail.com. Power of Fishnets is not affiliated with DC Comics, and the views expressed on the show belong solely to the speaker. All music, audio clips, and quoted text are used for entertainment purposes and believed covered under fair use. Since I make no money off this podcast, no copyright infringement is intended. Thanks for listening.